When it comes to training our children, whether it's about money, whether it's about time management, whether it's about impulse control, there are four steps. The life of Christ with his disciples gives us four training steps. One of those steps is expose your children to the opportunities to practice the things they need to do.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J., your host, and this week we're covering the four steps of the parent training process. Monday, we gave a summary. Yesterday was the first step in the training process, giving an example. And then today we get to exposure, the practice, right?
Yeah, today it's sort of a practice. It's a practice with a parent. Mm-hmm. I get to practice something and do something with a parent. We see that in so many times with Christ as he's training his disciples. And it's so loaded. His training is so loaded because it's not just loaded in the power of Christ in your life. And it's not just loaded in the ministry in the life of Christ, but it's loaded in just what you can do. It's exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you would ask or imagine. And one of my favorites is in Mark chapter 6. And they come up to him and they say, you know, you need to send these people away. They've been here all day listening to great message, by the way, but all day. I mean, who's going to interrupt Christ in the middle of a sermon? Yeah, but Jesus. They do. And feeling like he's lost it or gone too long or whatever. And you need to send them to town to get something to eat. You know, there's no food trucks out here in the Sermon on the Mount. And so what happens is, which is so amazing, is he says, you feed them. And anything Christ compels me to do, he will empower me to do. But he loves to compel me to do things that are beyond me rather than, you know, remember when we used to do the spiritual gifts and people could say, you know, what you want me to do there's not my gift. And it became spiritual excuses of why.
Because I don't have the faith gift.
Yeah, whatever it is, when I'm compelled by God to do things that are past my gift, it's so cool because it's going to be all God. Moses saying at the burning bush, but I'm not a good speaker, which Acts chapter 7 actually tells us he was a great speaker. But I don't feel like a good speaker anymore. I'm beaten up here on the backside of the desert. So Jesus says, you feed them. And they say, it would take everything we've got. And he says, well, that's all I need. What do you have? And they said, well, food-wise, we just have this kid's lunch. And he says, great, have him sit down. We'll feed him. And you know,
it's
you know,
crazy.
They want him. They want to say to him, "Do you realize there's 5,000 men alone, let alone women and children?"
Right.
Now, I don't know the scenario here. I just know the scenario of the churches that I'm usually in. There's more ladies than men. There seem to be more spiritually tuned in than men, or whatever the reason is. And so, if there's 5,000 men, can it be possible that there's 6,000 or 7,000 women with their children? So who knows what's going on there?
Right.
Have them sit down. They sit down. And what he does is very interesting because he prays over it and then he hands out the bread and the fish. And there's 12 baskets, basically, because there's 12 baskets left over, one for each disciple to carry around and feed the people.
Where did the baskets come from?
Who knows? Why would you ask something like that? Why would you interrupt a total broadcast with a completely random, irrelevant question?
How big were the baskets?
Yes,
anyway.
Wow, what is this with women? Did you want to know if
it was practical, man? Is it Tupperware?
Oh, Father in heaven. Anyway, back to the important stuff.
Right, okay.
They take the baskets around, and it's a great moment because I don't even think they're looking in the baskets. They're exposed to the power of God.
Mm.
They're exposed to the training. He could have just said, have everybody close your eyes and open your eyes, and guess what? Remember that manna back there? It's sitting right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that manna back in the wilderness? We're talking God here. He didn't need them. He's exposing them to what he wants to teach them. They come back, they finish, and it's not like they have to say, don't take too much. No, it says everybody's fine, everybody's satisfied, it says, and there's 12 baskets of food left, which means enough for each disciple to see. I can do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what you would ask or imagine, because I think they're imagining this is a failure right here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to expose our children to the things that need to get done. One of my favorite Barnes family photographs is Roby's about 3. I have nothing but shoes and shorts on. He has nothing but little shorts and shoes on. And I'm in the backyard. You see us from the back. I'm pushing my lawnmower. He's got a Fisher-Price lawnmower. And he's in the row behind me pushing. We finish everything. My lawnmower goes in the garage. His Fisher-Price lawnmower goes next to it, this little yellow and blue plastic lawnmower. We come in and he says, Mommy, we cut the grass. Daddy and I cut the grass. And did he cut anything? anything? No. Did the disciples feed anything? No, they didn't do anything. But he allowed them. He exposed them. Mm-hmm. The things we want our children to learn, we want to expose them to with us present. Let's just expose them. You want to teach compassion to your child. And let me just say, you do want to teach compassion to your child. Mm-hmm. And so there's somebody at church sick and you're going to take them a meal. Take a child and have your children. Guys, we're going to make this for Mrs. So-and-so. Why? Well, she just had a baby, or she's a widow and she's sick, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We're going to take it. We're going to make it together, and let's take it to the house. Mm-hmm. Let's just take it to the house, deliver it, all of us to the house, and play a part in a compassion ministry. What did they do? I probably could have done it faster, easier myself, and just as Jesus could have fed them all. Let's pray, close your eyes, bam, manna, right in front of everybody. He did it before for 40 years every
right,
day.
Right, right.
This is a pretty easy moment here. But instead, he included them in the journey, just like I included my children in the giving. You know, here, I want to help you know how to give. And so we need to expose our children in what we want to teach them.
And even simple acts, you know, showing them how to write the check if it's just a check. You know what? You take the check. You know, but Daddy, why don't you do it? I'm embarrassed. No. You go take it. Learn what it feels like to hand a gift to somebody.
Absolutely.
You know?
In fact, I have to sign this check, but I want you to write in here. There's where the date goes.
Memo.
There's where the to who goes. There's where the numbers go. And there's where you write out the words right there. Mm-hmm. Let's just practice this. I have to sign it because it's my check, but let's just practice. Whatever we want our children. See, the farmer did that. He went out into the barn with his kids. And I have no clue what you do in barns, but he went out there in the barn.
It's just your last
and,
name.
And so. Yes, which is ironic, actually, now that you just mentioned it. And he went out there and he'd have his kids with him and they'd watch him milk the cow and they'd watch him do this and that for the day when they would be doing it themselves. We need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to expose my children to the things I'm going to train them to do.
Mm-hmm. I remember recently getting married and, you know, I have 4 stepkids. For a little time, we were in my parents' house. My dad had this thing when the kids came in, the book bags need to be in a bin by the door so that they're not scattered everywhere. And he said, would you let me teach them? And I thought it was funny. I said, sure, go for it. And he made sort of almost like a party out of it. He said, all right, guys, I want everybody to come back down, pick up your book bags. We're going outside. And they're like, oh, brother, you know, what's going on? So they pick it all out. And he goes, okay, we're all walking back in the house. Okay, everybody take your book bag one by one. They put it in the bin. And
did
he
they
had
each
them
have
all...
their own bin?
No, it was one big bin.
Okay.
Yeah, just one. And the shoes and the book bag went in there. And he had them do the shoes and the book bag. And they like practice. And he's like, let's do it again. And they're rolling their eyes, you know, but he made it fun. And it was clockwork since then.
Done.
Because he did it with them.
Done. First he exposed them and then he let them experience, which we'll talk about tomorrow. On your own, go for this thing. Well, your dad, and I know this because your dad's an awesome pastor, your dad is a brilliant trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't shake it down too little. One of the greatest basketball coaches in the history of college basketball at UCLA, Coach Wooden, who you've never heard of because you're too young, would get all the greats. They would all end up at UCLA. When I was going through high school, UCLA might as well have been an NBA team. You know, Jabbar, who was Lou Alcindor at that time, all the greats going to UCLA. First day, he had them come in, sit down. I'm going to show you how to put on shoes and socks. Now, these were all high school All-Americans.
Oh my gosh.
He broke it down to shoes and socks because you get a blister, we've lost you. So let's start like this. And he broke it down. So I'm exposing you to how to do this and how to do the basics in life. We need to expose our children to the lessons just like Christ did. We need to do money with them and let them see how to do it so that they're ready to be cut loose later on. We need to do an allowance with them at a young age and expose them to the handling of money, even though we're a part of it. We need to expose them to the fun of saving money. And in our house, we encourage saving money by saying, you know, anything, when we go away on vacation, anything you've saved this year, we will match. And that will get you jacked up and cheering for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to expose them there along with us. It's not time to cut them loose yet.
Mm-hmm.
But anything, if you think, hey, I want to teach my children about money. Hey, I want to teach my children about time management. I want to teach my children about handling their peers. All those things, and those are important things to teach. And I need to have my own parenting curriculum to teach that. I want to teach my children about spiritual growth. Well, it starts with praying with them when they're little. It starts with exposing them by you reading the Bible for them at the breakfast table and continue the rest of their lives having those devotions. But then cutting them loose to let them do it by themselves at the end of the day, at night when they're lying in bed. You can stay up a little later if you want to read your Bible. Mm-hmm. Exposing our children means the things we want to train them, we do it with them. It's the very same way people have taught their children how to drive a car forever. Mm-hmm. Or initially, I set the example for how to drive a car. They got to watch me drive a car for years and talking out loud about when to stop, why to stop, why didn't I go into that intersection then? Then when it's time, we take them into a parking lot somewhere and we do it with them. They're driving, we're sitting next to them, we're exposing them to driving, but I'm still in the car because we're going to cut them loose one day. So we want to do all these things with them. That's exactly what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you do something you're not ready to do. But as I have you do something you're not ready to, feed the 5,000, I'm here. Mm. If you want to, keep looking up on the hill. I'm standing here, guys, and this will work. You need to trust me in this.
And there's some things also that, you know, moms and dads, we have to teach our kids certain things, especially when they're really young. This is how you brush your teeth. This is how you bathe. And I've even heard some moms say, okay, but they're not going to get behind their ears. They're not going to be as clean as they could if I just did it. If I just did it, it's just done better. And then, and I had one mom say that, and I'm thinking, are you going to be bathing your kids for the next 15 years?
You know, I mean, are you going to college with them?
Eventually, you
gotta
just let
them loose. Mom, what are you doing in my dorm room?
And a little earwax won't kill them. Okay, so just, you know, get them clean, teach them how to do it, and monitor them for a little bit.
Monitor them.
It takes time, though.
It takes extra time because we're task oriented. We're not training oriented. Mm. We're tasked parents. I got to get this. I got to get this. I got to get this.
We're
busy
too.
That's why we're too busy. It's why we're human doings instead of human beings. It's why I don't give my kids chores. It's why I don't give my kids this, because I'm not thinking training. They're leaving one day. And all of a sudden, your child is a senior and you're processing all the things you wish you'd done. Do it now. Yes. And if he's not washing behind his ears, he steps out and you look at him and say, okay, you missed a spot. Let me help you here. But when he gets it and you realize he got it, that's when you cheer. That's when you go crazy. But we've got to realize I'm not going to college with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their own. So what do I want them to be able to do when they go? It starts with setting the example. And the car illustration was perfect. I've got to drive the way I want them to drive. And so, yes.
Not like a crazy maniac.
My children actually made a statement the other day. One of them was with me. One of them was behind me. You know, you drive a little differently than when we were at home. I know I do. I know. I was so self-conscious when I was with you that I was right there perfectly on the speed limit. Because I realized I'm raising a driver. I'm raising a car driver.
I need to be more
self-conscious. And we had these fun games of when they were growing up in our house. And the game was competitive. Who got the seatbelt on first?
Mm-hmm.
Who got the seatbelt on first? And so I would get in the car and, you know, I would actually be getting them in. And then I get in the car, I'm going for all I'm worth. And they both have their seatbelts on and they're laughing. We're first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm acting like I'm in a bad mood over it. I didn't win. I can't believe I can't ever win this with you guys. Of course I can't. I put them in the car first.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them the other day, we pulled back out of the driveway. We're two families going out to eat. And I can't remember which one was in my car. I think it was Roby. And he said, Dad, put your seatbelt on. He's already got his seatbelt on. And I realized, yes, I was so training oriented. I haven't really learned it myself. Set the example. You're raising someone who's going to have to learn how to do this. And then expose them. Let them practice themselves. And some of that practice we can make very, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
But they're with me. I need to set the example. I need to let them practice doing it themselves. I am raising someone I'm going to emancipate out there. They need to be prepared so that when they're on a college campus, we realize, wow, they got it. They're ready to do it. They're prepared to do the things God has planned for them to do. I know the plans I have for you, say the Lord. My job as a parent is I don't know the plans he has, so I need to train them to be responsible individuals.
We're covering the four steps of the parent training process, how to train just about anything. On Monday, we did a summary of it. Yesterday, how to give an example, and today covering how to expose them to the process or to expose them to what they're supposed to do. So if you want to hear any of these programs, including today's, you can find them online even get them automatically through the app on your iPhone or your Android phone. That's all online at parentingonpurpose.org. You can also sign up to get the daily blog that comes along with the program. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the boys and girls homes, and support the homes through the resources that are online, that's at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. You can also support the children's homes by sending a text and giving just a one-time $10 donation that adds to your cell phone bill and sends it to the ministry. All you have to do is text two letters, SH, and send it to 41518. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow as we go through the next step of the parent training process here on Parenting on Purpose.